Do you think that anger is a problem in our world today? I read that several years ago, there was a classified ad in a newspaper. It said this: wedding dress for sale, never worn, will trade for a 38 caliber pistol. Someone said, I think it was Thomas Jefferson, when angry count to 10, if very angry count to 100. We've heard that. Mark Twain, of course, edited that, and he said, when you're angry, count to 4. If very angry, swear. Well, I think more people probably follow Mark Twain than Thomas Jefferson. I don't know. I heard regarding anger in marriage, a licensed therapist is fond of saying to couples, do you want to be right or married? It's a good word, isn't it? Well, anger affects all of us in different ways. And I realize we've talked about anger on Sunday mornings. In fact, just a month ago, we talked about the hostile lifestyle, where hostility consumes us and kind of takes us off track from the way God wants us to live. But as we come to giving up the 7 deadly sins in Lent, once again, we find ourselves staring face to face with the issue of anger. We need to give thought to how anger impacts our lives as Christians. So let me ask you, how do you feel when you are driving in traffic in Metro Atlanta? Is it just me, or am I the only one who knows how to drive? I feel like that when I'm driving around, and I do feel anger inside. How do you feel if you're in a parking lot and you've been looking for the best parking space and you've driven around, finally you see someone leaving a parking space right up close to the front of the store, so you go up and turn on your blinker and you're patiently waiting while it takes forever for them to get into the car, to get it going, to find their keys, to finally back out. And they back out towards you, and somebody comes from the other direction and slides right into the parking space. Don't say out loud what you think in your mind, I know. Now, after several warnings, numerous warnings, how do you feel when your son or daughter walk into the door after school and throw the book bag in the middle of the room and toss the jacket on the coffee table and kick the shoes across the room, turn on the TV as loud as it can possibly go? That may or may not be a personal example. Or how about if you repeatedly ask your spouse to pick up clothes from the dry cleaners? They assure you they'll come home later that evening because you have something you know you need to wear in the next couple of days. They promise you they won't forget. They walk in that evening empty-handed. Oh, I just forgot. That may or may not be something that I've done before. Well, all of these things, what do they have in common? They cause us maybe to become angry. More than likely, we find ourselves becoming angry because often anger wells up within us when we feel like something we value is out of control, that we can't control things that we feel like are important. And many of us as Christians feel uncomfortable with those feelings of anger. Here's what's interesting in our text in Ephesians for today. Get this. Paul actually encourages us to be angry. Now, in the version I read this morning, it actually says, in your anger, do not sin. But some of your Bibles, if you read it, instead of saying in your anger, what Paul actually writes there and how it's translated in English is be angry, but do not sin. In other words, Paul is saying to us very clearly, he's acknowledging there are times in our lives when we're going to become angry. But even though we are angry, we don't have to sin. The Bible says it's okay that we can be angry, but not sin. Mark Gorkin, the stress doctor, writes about anger as well as many other things. And here's what he says about anger. He says, what's the first thought that comes to your mind when you hear the word anger? Frustration? Yelling? loss of control, violence, maybe fear, silence, avoidance, all reasonable responses, he says. Or are they? A bit one-sided for my taste, he says. That is, anger, the anger glass appears half empty in all of these words. What about the half-full perspective of anger? Words like confrontation, energy, power, tenacity, honesty, being real. His point is well taken. Gorkin reminds us that anger is often viewed as something that is always negative and destructive, but anger can also be used in very positive ways. If you were able to read your Lenten card this week and read the devotion that Amy Hayes wrote for us, she said something very similar. Anger can, in our lives, be a force for that which is positive. In our passage for this morning, Paul says, it's okay to be angry. But in our anger, we should not sin. So the real question for us today is, how are we to be angry but not sin? What is it about anger in particular that we need to give up? Well, very simply, as Jessica and the children discussed earlier in the children's sermon this morning, anger becomes sinful when it desires harm and destruction. Anger becomes sinful when it desires and seeks pain, heartache, harm, and destruction. Sinful anger leads us to do something or to say something that harms either ourselves or someone else. So that sin occurs with anger when we react in inappropriate ways, causing physical or emotional or spiritual harm to another person. The Catholic Encyclopedia has a very good definition of what it calls sinful anger. And it reads these words: anger becomes sinful when it is sought to wreak vengeance. Anger is sinful when there is an undue vehemence in the passion itself, whether inwardly or outwardly. So, when your anger seeks to bring harm to another person, as we said, physically, emotionally, or spiritually, then your anger is destructive. And it is this sinful anger that we need to give up. Let me share some few practical examples with you about destructive, sinful anger. Violence. That seems obvious. But let us say clearly, any time your anger turns into physical violence toward another person, your anger has become sinful. Teasing or bullying. You see, you don't have to hurt someone physically in order for anger to be sinful. Teasing and bullying another person can be just as harmful as acts of physical violence. What about withholding affection? Withholding love or affection from someone who we are called to love, when we withhold affection, it says to the other person, when you're good enough, I will love you. But none of us are ever good enough to be loved that way. That form of anger can be emotional violence. What about the silent treatment? When our anger causes us to shut down and stop communication, it removes the opportunity for deeper understandings in our relationship. That kind of anger and response to anger can become destructive. These are just a few of the many kinds of destructive anger that we need to give up, that we need, as Scripture says, to get rid of in our lives. And as we said a few weeks ago, talking about the hostile lifestyle, what's really frightening about these situations and these examples of harmful anger is that the most natural targets of this kind of anger are those who are closest to us. Experts tell us that destructive anger develops more often in our families than in any other human relationship. Destructive, sinful anger, when anger becomes sinful, it often happens in marriages. It often happens in parent-child relationships. Anger turns violent often in our families, and it results in emotional and physical abuse of those whom God expects us to love and to serve. Listen, let me say something you already know, but it needs to be said. People in the church are not immune from physical violence and emotional violence toward people in their families. We are not immune from that. Though this happened several decades ago, I still remember it like it was yesterday. I was an older child, I guess, and my friend and I were playing basketball in my driveway, and we were talking about various things, and somehow the conversation turned to crying. And we asked each other, have you ever seen, these are two boys, have you ever seen your dad cry? And I said to my friend, you know, I think I've only seen my dad cry once or twice. I said, how about you? He said, well, actually last Sunday in church. I said, last Sunday in church? What happened? He said, well, we went to church that morning and the preacher was talking about some parents who beat up on their kids and how bad it is. He said, and the day before, my dad had beaten my brother so bad, he couldn't go to church that morning. And as the preacher preached about how bad it was to beat your child, my daddy just cried and cried and cried. It's emotional too. It's not just physical, but even in our families, we often bring about emotional harm in the same way, that kind of destruction. In Christian families, we need to have an understanding of the impact of anger and how strong it is and how it affects our families. And we need some practical guidelines to help us to know how to express anger appropriately. So this morning, let me just share a few thoughts with you. What are some practical guidelines? Number one, as we've already heard, we need to be people who are slow to anger. Maybe the most important thing that we can say this morning about anger is that as Christians, we should model the example of God who is slow to be angry with us. As Christians, we should model God's behavior in our relationships with others. God is slow to be angry with us. We should be slow to be angry with others. The scriptures are full of words related to this in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A few verses earlier, the writer of Proverbs says, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but one who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Later in the book of Proverbs, the writer says, a fool gives full vent to anger, but the wise, quietly holds it back. So how do you deal with your anger? When you find yourself becoming red or flushed in the face, when you find yourself with anger welling up inside of you, do you lash out quickly, getting that anger out of your system? Or when you feel that anger welling up inside of you, do you hold back and control your feelings, being slow to anger? The Bible suggests patience and self-control are important precautions against our anger becoming sinful. We need to be slow to anger. We also, secondly, need to create safe environments. Let me explain what I mean by that. I know some might hear that and say, oh, that's a politically correct term. That's not what I'm talking about here. In our Christian households, we need to provide a safe environment for family members to express their feelings. All of their feelings, including anger. Christian homes can benefit from an open discussion of feelings and appropriate ways to express them. In very practical terms, there are some things that we can do to work toward creating this kind of safe environment in our homes. First, be careful how you respond to family members when you sense a conversation escalating emotionally. When you know a conversation you're having with someone in your home is beginning to escalate emotionally, when you feel yourself becoming angry, especially when you feel defensive, pull back. Be very careful what you say. It is in those instances we often cause irreparable damage to our relationships. Second, be sensitive to hot button issues. You know those things that you can talk about, and then there are some things you simply can't talk about because it's too difficult, or the feelings are too hot or emotional. One of my brothers and I cannot, and I mean cannot, discuss politics. Doesn't matter what the issue is, if politics makes its way into the conversation, things get uncomfortable. Neither one of us are politically active people, but if the conversation delves into politics, it just becomes awkward. And the problem is, he just doesn't know how wrong he is. I'm kidding. Kind of. So when we're together, honestly, I have to work really hard to stay away from those kinds of discussions that can become hot button issues. He does too, I'm sure. It's just one of those things we try to avoid confrontational issues. That's important to do in our families. Third, I would say vent your frustrations to a trusted friend. In other words, you don't have to say something in the moment of anger in order to vent your frustrations. Wait until later. Share your frustrations with a good friend, with an outsider. Sometimes it helps to let off steam with a person who is removed from the other person or situation that is causing you to feel angry. And it could just be that that objective outsider might be able to give you some important insights into your own feelings and responses. Part of creating safe environments in our homes is having a better understanding of what causes our own individual anger. In his book, Coping with Anger, my seminary professor, Dr. Andy Lester, suggests some very simple questions, evaluation questions, that we should ask ourselves whenever we find ourselves becoming angry after the situation. He says, after becoming angry, Dr. Lester encourages us to ask, when did it happen? What was the situation that caused us to be angry? What was I really reacting to in that moment? And how did I respond? In a helpful or a harmful way? You see, the goal is to understand, are there patterns in my life as to how I experience and express and deal with anger? As Christians, we can and should create safe environments and places for sharing in our relationships with each other. Finally, we need to be people who listen. James chapter 1, verse 19 begins with these words: be quick to listen, slow to speak. Sometimes it's so much easier to jump to a conclusion and to react than it is to be patient and listen to hear a perfectly good reason for what actually triggered our anger. What if instead of reacting in our anger, we pause to listen to our anger or to listen to the other person? Viktor Frankl, in his masterpiece book, Man's Search for Meaning, he writes, quote, between stimulus and response, there is a space. And in that space lies our freedom and power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. In other words, Anger is a natural emotion, but our response to anger is always a choice. So do you hold on to your anger? Do you seek to hurt or punish other people when you're angry? Do you want to get even? Do you seek revenge when you are angry? If so, your anger may be harmful and even sinful. Maybe that's a response to anger that you need to give up during this Lenten season. God wants us to be patient with each other, slow to anger, willing to listen. So during this Lenten season, let us hear and do the word of God. Be angry, but do not sin. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, this day we confess our humanity and we admit, God, that sometimes we express our emotions, even anger, in harmful and destructive ways. Lord, give us patience, give us clarity, give us the Spirit of Christ, that we may respond as you would like us to in the situations of our lives. Lead us and guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.